I certainly have enjoyed all the singing today, the congregationals and the special singing. I don't know that what there might be someone here or someone who has joined us by live stream that this song in particular, the last one, was a need in your life. People go through hard places. People go through dark places. I sure am glad that as a believer, we never have to go through them alone. Aren't you glad that our Savior is on board through every storm? Every storm. And I don't know what you're going through. And even if I did, I certainly would pray with you. I'd care about that. And there may be a little I could do about it, but I could point you to one who could do a lot about it. You can cast all of your care upon Him because He careth for you. And I pray that if you're bearing a heavy burden this morning, that you would roll it over on the Lord and let Him sustain you. This morning I want us to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I have some thoughts that I'd like to give you, and that's probably not thoughts that you haven't heard before. There are a lot of truths in this particular passage, and in a way it was an event that took place where the Lord Jesus chose to give a parable. This parable probably is one of the most misunderstood parables in all of the parables that Jesus gave. There are people who will read this account and say, well, you know what? My love for Jesus is what brings forgiveness to me, and that is not what the parable means at all. There are others who will read this parable and say, well, you know what? Because I was brought up in a Christian home and I did not get out into sin and live an abhorring lifestyle, then I probably don't have a lot to be thankful for. Well, certainly that is not what this parable teaches at all. Now, I'm glad that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I'm thankful that regardless of what you've done in your life, that Jesus will accept and forgive you. But please, if you're here and you were brought up in a good environment in a Christian home and you never got out and dabbled into what people would call abhorrent sins, sins of the flesh, don't think you're at a disadvantage. What you need to do is be grateful that God saved you from some things instead of out of some things. Now, there are many here today that could identify with being saved out of situations. God saved me out of drugs. God saved me out of this. God saved me out, and God delivered me out of that situation. And I'm thankful that He did. I'm thankful that He still can, and I'm thankful that He still does. But I want to say to those of you that's been brought up in a Christian home and you have not got out in the world, that you just be thankful to God that God saved you from some things. Now, with all of that said, I want to remind you that what Jesus is teaching here is it doesn't matter whether you got saved out of or whether you got saved from, we're all sinners. And the realization, you see, what Jesus is going to teach here, as we shall see here in just a moment, it's not the amount of sin that causes one to be thankful. It's the awareness of sin that helps us to be thankful and show our devotion to Him. We'll say that one more time because I don't want you to forget this, okay? As we shall see in this account, there are those who say, well, you know what? I can see why Pastor David or Pastor Dale or this one or that one, we could go around the room and say, I could see why they would be so grateful and so thankful. Look at what God delivered them and saved them out of. Well, listen, it's not the amount of sin that I was involved in that's caused me to love Jesus the way I love Him. It is the awareness of the forgiveness of sin, not the amount. See, if it was the amount, then there would almost be an emphasis on, why don't you just go out and sin a lot so you can love a lot? Right? I said, right? God doesn't want you to go out and sin a lot so you can be thankful for getting delivered out of a lot of sin. No, God wants you, whether you have been delivered out of sin or from sin, whether you were brought up in a pagan's home, a heathen lifestyle, or a Christian home, God wants everyone that's been forgiven of their sin to be aware of what forgiveness is, where it comes from, and what it does to change the heart. Amen. And that's why this parable is given. Now, what I'd like to do is just kind of go through and give you a little backdrop of this story in and of itself. And then I want to give you some truths that we should take from this parable. All right? Let's look at the story itself. I find it very interesting, and this just blesses my heart. I hope that as you're reading through your Bible, that sometimes, and I think it's very important just to compare the gospel accounts. Because when you read this account, notice what the scripture says, if you would. Go back with me just for a moment. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. It says, the men of chapter 7, in verse number 20. We'll go back to verse 18. It says, and the disciples of John showed him all these things, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And what happens here is Jesus said, here, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go back, and I've got a message I want you to give John. And then he gives this message, and he wants those disciples to go back and give John while he's in prison. And then he says this. He said, I want to tell you some things about John the Baptist. What a man of God. He said, you know, there's none greater been born of a woman than old John the Baptist. He is a great prophet of God. You know what chapter of the book of Matthew that this is found in? It's in chapter number 11. So if you take this account as it's given, you know how chapter number 11 in the Gospel of Matthew ends? Jesus gives an invitation. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I'll give you rest. Now I believe, and I cannot positively prove this, so I want to make this very clear. I said it's what I believe. And I try to do that when I'm uncertain. But I just think because of the way the scripture lines up, when you turn to Luke chapter number 7, and you find this passage of scripture leading all the way up to verse number 35, the Bible says in verse 36, there was a Pharisee on Simon. He said, I'd like for you to come and sit at meat with me. And while that he was sitting at meat, you'd have to understand the culture of this day. They kind of ate under an open canopy. And the dinner was not as private as our dinner is when we sit around the family table. It was open to passerbys and those who were in the area. And so a lot of times people just drop in. Now, they might not drop in for the dinner itself, but when there was someone that they considered to be of high rank or someone official or someone important, then they would gather around because they want to hear the conversation. That's what happened here. This woman, I believe with all of my heart, heard that invitation. And I believe that she received Jesus as her personal Savior. She received him. And when Jesus left and he went to Simon's house, I believe that it began to just well up in her heart how thankful she was that Jesus saved her soul. She went home, which was close by, possibly, maybe she had it with her, and she got a box of very costly ointment. And she said, I want to show that man. I want to show that prophet. I want to show my Savior how thankful I am for what he's done in my life. Have you ever told or showed Jesus how thankful you are for what he's done in your life? How often do you do that? Do other people witness that? You say, well, now I do it in my bedroom when I'm kneeling and praying, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I do it at church when I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll lift my hand, I'll say amen, and I'll sing about Jesus saves, and I think that's a great thing. But can I remind you what atmosphere this woman was entering into? This woman knew that she was going to unfriendly territory. You see, the Pharisees in this day, the one that had invited in verse number 36, one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat meat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. You see that? This Pharisee's name, you'll find out, is Simon. The Pharisees did not like Jesus. They were religious people. They had a lot of rules, and they had a lot of traditions, and so they could not stand the Gentiles, and they certainly didn't like sinners. As a matter of fact, they said, you know, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know, I mean, they just thought that was repulsive. You'll even detect some of the disdain in Simon's voice when he is addressing this woman to Jesus Christ. Luke records 28 times that Jesus had a conversation with the Pharisees Every single time they were critical. Only two times in the account of the scripture does Jesus enter into the house of a Pharisee, here in Luke 7 and in Luke chapter number 11. Both times it was to be critical toward him and to try to find fault in him. And so when this woman, I believe, received the invitation, now whether she did it then or whether she did it another time, this woman knew Jesus personally and had received the forgiveness of sin. And so the Bible says in verse number 37, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Not is a sinner. No, if you'll look down in verse number 39, that's the way Simon saw her. He said, for she is a sinner. Do you see that? Old Simon couldn't get past the fact that she was a sinner. Now, he didn't say, I am a sinner. He said, she's a sinner. It's easy to say he's a sinner and she's a sinner and they're a sinner, but it's not very easy to look yourself in the mirror and square yourself up and say, I am a sinner. But before you'll ever get favor from God and before you'll ever get Jesus to do something in your life, you've got to come to terms with saying, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Not she is a sinner. I'm afraid that a lot of Christians have got that plague. It's so easy to see the fault in everyone else. It's so easy to see the wrongdoing of everyone else. Many times, it's in the same areas that ours is. Oh, Simon had it. Let's look at this woman for a moment. The Bible says in verse number 37, behold, a woman of the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him. Now, Jesus was almost in a laying position. His feet was behind him. They had a low table. He was laid this way, and he was eating with Simon and some of the guests. His feet were behind him. She walked up behind him, and her tears, brethren, were so plentiful that they dripped down out of her eyes, off of her face, and wet the feet of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. It says, this woman, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box. She was going to purposefully show her love for Jesus. She was going to publicly show her love for Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 38 that she stood at the feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. Now, why do you think the Spirit of God told Luke, I want you to write that down. Did you know the Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory, her long hair? Now, for a man to have long hair, it's a shame unto him. But for a woman to have it, it's her glory covering. What is this woman doing? She's washing Jesus' feet with her tears, and she's wiping it with her glory. She's saying, I don't deserve any glory. You deserve the glory. That honored her, she's saying, I lay at your feet. All that I am or all that I ever hope to be is because of you. When's the last time you laid something at Jesus' feet and said that? When's the last time you took something that you value or that you look at as honorable and you laid it at the feet of Jesus and said, I don't deserve any honor. I don't deserve any recognition. I don't deserve any glory. I give it all to you. She did it. Amen. You ever done that? You say, well, I love him. Is that all we can do these days is run around saying we love him? When's the last time you showed it? I'm not being angry and mean at you. I'm just asking a very pointed question. When's the last time as a Christian you said, I want people to know I am not ashamed. I will go in unfriendly territory. I will go unashamedly and show my devotion and my love. I will lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ because he is worthy. I thank God for what he did in my life. When's the last time you've done something like that? Not only was she a woman of the city, notice what the scripture says in verse 37, behold, she was a woman of the city. She was a sinner. She was a woman. I believe there was mostly men, if not all men, sitting around this table. You think that stopped this woman? It did stop this woman. You know why? Because when you love Jesus, nothing's going to stop you from giving him the glory. Well, people will look at me funny if I say amen in church. Let them look, brother. Well, if I throw my hand up and give glory to God, what will they think? I don't know. They might think your God's worth giving glory to. You see, we have so allowed what other people think and we've disregarded about what God desires, it's changed the way we even come to church. Didn't change this woman, though. Didn't change her. She knew what she was going into. She knew what she was going to be facing. But she went anyway. I'm thankful for that good lesson in this, aren't you? Now let's read on and see what the Bible says. Not only did she wipe her tears that was on his feet with her head, she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. You know, I can only find one other time that Jesus was kissed in the scripture. Now, I'm not saying there is only one other time. I can only find one other time. If you find another time, please bring it to me. I'll accept the correction and instruction and change as I preach along this line moving forward. But that was not a very good kiss. It was a kiss of betrayal. This woman gave a kiss of commitment, of gratitude. And she didn't give it on his cheek. In order for her, notice if you would, in order for her to bow her head down, I don't know how long this woman's hair was. She might have could have done it from a standing position. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say how long her hair was. But I know to kiss his feet. Now she's going to have to get down there. Do you see the humility? Do you see her approach to Christ? Do you see why God included this account in the scripture so that we could learn from this woman how to approach Jesus unashamedly in the spirit and attitude of worship and humility? Saying, God, I'm not worthy of anything. I'm not ashamed of you. I don't care what other people think of me. I just want you and you alone to get the glory. God help me. God help you. God help us to take this attitude as our own. And the scripture says that she kissed, and it says that she kissed repeatedly. That's really the way it's written there, and anointed them with the ointment. She was not only humbled, she was not only unashamed, but according to this, she was willing to make the sacrifice. I don't know how much this ointment cost. I don't. But I know it wasn't cheap. You know, if we're not careful in life, we'll look at some folks and think they don't have anything. But many times it's people like this that take the expensive, that take that which is costly and use it to give God the glory. And we which have much will do as little as possible to stay within the boundaries. Just enough to say, well, I give. Just enough to say, well, I sacrificed. Right? Yeah. Or you say, well, preacher, you're not going to get a lot of amens preaching that way. I don't preach for amens. I'm trying to wake us up to the fact that sometimes we can view people wrong, because I believe that's another lesson that we learn from this. When this woman walked in, I'm sure people kind of stood back and said, whoa, what is she doing here? This woman, she's a sinner. Look at her over there. How uncomfortable do you think it would to be sitting at dinner with Jesus and some woman come in and start kissing all over his feet, crying uncontrollably, kneeling down and taking her hair and wiping his feet and then anointing his feet with oil? How do you think that meal went? Huh? You see her lot? You see what expanse that Jesus went to get us the full effect? Because he wants you to know, if you're going to be devoted to me, if you're going to be totally sold out, surrendered, if you're going to make sacrifices for me, it's going to cost you more than a box of ointment. Amen, bro. It's going to cost you your pride. Amen. It's going to cost me my pride. It's going to cost me something. There may be some people say something harsh to me. There may be some people that doesn't want me around. There may be some that actually would say, why don't you just get out? Why don't you just stop it already? There may even be some that would say you're doing more harm to the cause of Christ than you are good carrying on that way at the supper table. But as we shall see, that's not the way Jesus viewed it. Let's read on. So we looked at this sinful woman. The Pharisee in verse number 39, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He's a coward. That's what he is. He said within himself, he said, this man. Boy, I tell you, when I read about this Simon, I don't know, brother. He's one of them guys that knows it all. He knows about the woman. Oh, she's a woman of the city. She's, boy, you know, look what he said in the latter part of verse number 39. He said, if he knew what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Oh, my. He knew all about her. He knew all about Jesus, right? Oh, he just knows it all about everybody. What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. No wonder Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. God help me. God deliver me. God deliver you. God help us never to become like this. I'm not saying don't point out sin. Listen, Jesus did. Right here, notice if you would, in verse number 48, he said, thy sins are forgiven. He wasn't afraid to call out sin. Well, Simon thought he knew it all. I know about this woman. I know about these people who say they're Christians. And I know about these. And I know about this man. He said, this woman. And then look what he said about Jesus. This man, in verse number 39, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is, you see. He just knew it all, didn't he? He knows about Jesus. He knows about this woman. He knows about himself. I'm somebody. I'm a good guy. He had a real problem saying he was a sinner. Jesus called him out, as we'll see here in just a moment. He said in verse number 40, Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You see that? He said, I got something I'm going to say to you. Simon said, say on, master. Right? Say on. I know it all. Ask me. Jesus said, okay. He said in verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. In other words, but without getting into great detail, one owed this creditor a whole lot and one owed him, well, not so much. But both of them owed him. All right? You following? Now, what do you think Jesus is doing here? Think about this. I don't think it's hard to see what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, Simon, you don't know as much as you think you know. And while you brought me here to investigate me and to check me out, I'm going to investigate you. And while your eyes on the woman and on me, I'm going to get your eyes on you. He's saying, Simon, you think this woman is a sinner, but I want to tell you, you are too. Because if you'll notice his wording here in this little parable, he said a certain creditor had how many debtors? Say it with me, church. Two. Two debtors. Now, Simon just saw one of them. He saw this 500 pence sinner. Right? He saw this big sinner. And he said, oh, my. You know, he said, she's a 500 pence sinner. But Jesus said, yeah, you don't even think you are. But even if I could get you to the place, I want you to realize you might see yourself as a 50 pence sinner. Because you don't sin the way she does or did. Isn't that the way we can be sometimes? Hey, look, I know it's not comfortable, but listen. Isn't that the way we can be sometimes? What's happening here, brethren? Loosen up a little bit. What's happening here? See, if we're not careful, we'll look at prostitutes, and prostitutes are sin against God. Adultery is a sin against God, and God abhors it. Amen. Sodomy, it's a sin against God, and God abhors it. Come on. Drug uses, drinking, sin against God, he abhors it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something else. So is a critical spirit sin against God. So is jealousy a sin against God. So is a judgmental spirit a sin against God. So is covetousness a sin against God. It's as the sin of idolatry. And so if we're not careful, we'll see other people sin and say, I tell you right now, they are just terrible. You see, I see a little difference here, and Jesus points it out. If you'll read this, see, hers was sin of commission. It was things she was doing out in the city, but his was sin of omission. Jesus pointed out, he said, you know what? You haven't done a thing you should have done since I got here. Read it when you get home. He said, all the things that you should have been doing, she's doing. You know, the woman you think is so bad, she's showing her devotion to me. You've shown me nothing. So you're admitting, you are omitting things that you should be engaged in. There's sins of the flesh, there's sins of the spirit. Is that right, church? Come on now, come on. You say, well, I'm hot. We can turn that air on again. Don't make me have to get the air conditioned man out. You see what's happening here? If the church could get a hold of this truth, I'm telling you, brother, I'm not talking, brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about just Fellowship Baptist Church. I mean the body of Christ. If the church of Christ could, if we could just get a hold of this. Just because you're not out and carousing and rumbling in the town and living it up and partying all night, that doesn't mean you're not a sinner. And so Jesus said, there's two sinners here that I'm dealing with. And he said, one sees herself as a 50-pence sinner. And the other sees themselves as a 50-pence, if they even see themselves a sinner at all. Now, what Jesus is trying to get, and we'll get to this when we get our take-home truths that I want you to take home with you. It's a dangerous thing to start comparing yourself with other people. You'll think you're okay, and you're not okay at all. And he had fallen into this trap. Don't you fall into that trap. You get your eyes off others, and you get your eyes on him. You turn your eyes toward Jesus, and everything will become clear. You'll see that sinner the way you should see her. You'll see Jesus the way you should see him, and you'll see you the way he sees you. That's when things really pick up. Amen. And so, let's look at this. He said, which two these debtors, one owed 500 pence, the other 50, but watch this. And when they, neither one of them, had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. So they both owed a debt. They both had nothing to give. Nothing. It's very clear to see what Jesus is doing here. Simon, you can no more get yourself to heaven with your good works than she can with her attempt at loving me. You don't get to heaven by loving God. Amen. Oh, you should have said amen there. You get to heaven by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. But yet there are those who would say, now wait a minute here. I'm a little 50-pence sinner. I'm okay. How much do you pay? You don't have anything to pay. It doesn't matter how you see yourself. You are what God says you are, not what the preacher, not what you say you are. We are what God says we are. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone unto his own way. We're all sinners. The moment we get to thinking we're all that, I'm telling you, brother, we're headed down a bad road. And he said, Simon, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. This woman has nothing to pay. Nor do you. Nor do we. Is that right, brethren? So there were two debtors. Both of them had nothing to pay. But watch this. In verse 42, he frankly forgave them both. Simon, you need forgiveness. You don't think you do. You think this poor old woman does. You're abhorred with her. She's distasteful to you. Well, if anyone needs Jesus, she does. How sweet. That should go, if anyone needs Jesus, I do. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. You say, well, aren't you glad that salvation's free? Who do you think paid for this? Look at it again one more time. He said there was a certain creditor. We're all indebted to God for our sin. Because all of our sin ultimately is against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, David said. When we sin, we come short of the glory of God. When we sin, we transgress the law of God. We owe a debt that we cannot pay. But I'm glad the creditor paid it. Are you listening? You say, well, preacher, how bad did the creditor suffer? Just visit Calvary. You want to find out what your little 50 pence sinning life, when you think, well, I'm not that bad of a sinner, you take one look at Calvary. Had you been the only sinner that sinned against God, Jesus would have suffered, bled and died. All that he suffered, bled and died just for your sin. Oh, a preacher, that was for the impugnant. That was for the disdainful. That was for those old 500 pence sinners. No, that was for you and I and for everyone. And had it been just you alone, Jesus would have suffered the same death. You want to find out how black, how dark, how desperate, how depraved our nature is? Visit Calvary. Now, I'm not talking about some picture hanging in some monastery or artwork. I'm talking about visit the scripture. Beaten, bruised, battered, whipped, spit upon. So here's this woman. She comes and she falls down and she worships. Here's this man. I'm going to ask you what Jesus asked. Look at the latter part of verse 42. Which of them will love him most? It's not going to be that one that thinks, I'm not that bad. Now, I want you to understand something. As a matter of fact, let me just break this down so you can see what's being taught here. And Simon answered, I tell you, old Simon, and he hung tough to the end. Simon answered in verse number 43 and said, he to whom he forgave most. That's not what he said. He said, I suppose. I tell you, there's just something that we are so full of pride that we don't want to admit. We don't want to admit. You got me, Lord. You got me. Simon knew what was happening. Simon knew that Jesus had called him out. Simon knew he was that 50 pence sinner. Simon knew he was that one that was not aware that it was his sin that Jesus was going to the cross for. It was his sin that Jesus came to pay the price. You say, I don't think Simon knew that. Oh, listen, there's been enough preaching. Simon knew. Simon may have been there to hear that discourse on the Sermon on the Mount. Simon may have been there to hear, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Don't you know that this man that was a part of the club of the Pharisees, don't you know that they had heard why Jesus said he had come and what he had come for? But he didn't want to accept it. Now, maybe God has spoken to your heart and he's told you, you're a sinner and you need to get some things right. Maybe as a lost person, you have realized, I'm a sinner and I've sinned against God. And I've been comparing myself with people out on the street that are homeless or people that are into dregs and drugs. And I need to quit looking at them and look at God and see in the eyes of God, I'm a sinner. And my debt's been paid. And I need to be aware of what it cost to pay that debt instead of looking at what amount that I think I've sinned. Because as I said when I started this message, I'm going to bring it to a close with some take-homes, but I want you to listen to me now. It's not about the amount. It's about the awareness. Jesus made that very clear here. He said, which do you think will love him most? And he said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, he said, you know, thou hast rightly judged. The person that realizes that and are aware of what it took to have their sin forgiven is the person that's going to be at Jesus' feet. The person that thinks, well, you know what, I deserved it, or it's not that big of a deal, you won't find them at the feet of Jesus. And I'm not saying they can't be saved. I'm not saying that a person can't get saved and then just totally, listen, go into a place in their life that's not a good place, or where they just kind of go through their Christian experience and never fully understand the depths of what it costs for them to become a Christian. But they're going to miss something. They're going to miss something. What are they going to miss, preacher? Well, look at what verse 44 says. He turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? What a question. Do you really see her? No. Don't look at her the way you see her. I want you to really see what's happening here. Take this in, Simon. This should be you. You see what this woman's doing? This is what you should have been doing. And he told him that. Read verses 44 through verse 46. He said, all the things that she's doing, you should have done. You should be doing. Is that what he said? Read it. He said, this is what you should be doing. You say, well, preacher, when I see people excited about Jesus, and I just say, well, you know, that's the way some people do. Everybody ought to be excited about Jesus. If you're saved, you ought to be excited about Jesus. Now, you may express that excitement differently, but every person that's saved ought to be just absolutely beside themselves that they have been forgiven and they are a child of God. We ought to be rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that doesn't go just for those bad sinners. That's for every sinner that's been saved in the grace of God. Amen. He says, she's been doing all this. You should have. And he said in verse number 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. He said to her, thy sins are forgiven. Don't you know that when she heard that, she said, yes. Nothing like assurance. You ever been going along through life? And I mean, the devil just fighting you tooth and nail. I mean, just fighting you every inch of the way. And all of a sudden, whether you're reading the scripture, or you're sitting in a church service, or you're riding down the road listening to music, and you hear that small, still voice say, thy sins are forgiven. Amen, amen. Boy, there's nothing like hearing that. What assurance this woman got. What assurance. And then just in case someone there thought, well, boy, I tell you, I better start doing works and loving the way she loves, so my sin can be forgiven. He said in verse number 50, he said, no, it's thy faith that has saved thee. You're not saved by love, because God so loved the world, and the world's not saved. It's faith in the finished work of Jesus. Amen, church? Yeah. What's he doing? He's commending her faith. He gave her assurance. You see what dividends it pays to bow down at the feet of Jesus? To worship him and adore him? You get to hear these words of confirmation and assurance. Look what else he said in verse 50. Go out. Go in peace, which is go out into peace. Amen. You've made your peace with God. Go out into a peaceful life. Praise God. Well, preacher, what am I supposed to get from this? I want you to look up this way. If you don't write this down, at least try to go back and listen to these, because I think these are just going to help you. Number one, I learned from this that you're a sinner whether you realize it or not. Some people say, well, I don't see myself as a sinner. Well, you are a sinner. Well, I don't drink and smoke. I don't think Simon did either, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't a sinner. It doesn't mean you're not one either. We're all sinners. And we come short of the glory of God. Now, you're not a sinner because the preacher says so. You're a sinner because God says so. All right? Number two, everyone needs the forgiveness of God. And everyone can have it. Everyone. Now, Simon didn't think he needed the forgiveness of Jesus. When he invited Jesus to his home that day, he didn't invite him thinking, I need some forgiveness. He invited him to try to find fault and try to just kind of break down and to discredit the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think there'd be anyone here like that today, but I'll tell you this, you need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Everyone needs forgiveness. Whether you see yourself as a sinner or not, you are a sinner and you need forgiveness. Number three, Jesus is the creditor. He paid your sin debt for you. He's the creditor in this. You say, well, it don't cost a whole lot to get saved. It's free, but it's not cheap. I'm going to say that again. It's free, thank God, but it's not cheap. Jesus paid your sin debt, my sin debt, with his own life's blood. Number four, those with a little awareness love little. That's what this is teaching. You say, preacher, I don't understand why I don't love the Lord more. Well, I hope you do after today. If you're here and you show little to no devotion, if there's little to no devotion or love for God in your life, and you say you're a Christian, it's because you take very lightly your sin. You're not very aware of your sinful condition and what Jesus has and is doing for you. And those that love much, very, very obvious from this. Look at it again, verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven for, which means, therefore, she loveth much. Because she realized, she's aware of her sin and what it costs to forgive, she loves much. But, he said, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. To whom views their sin as light, and that's just a small thing and big deal. You know what? So I lied. It was just a little white lie. Had there only been one little quote-unquote white lie, Jesus would have still come to this earth and died the death he died to pay the price for that sin. You do realize that, right? I hope that you do. The devil has such a way of trying to discourage and distract and get us to think differently than what the Bible teaches. Number five, closeness and devotion brings comfort, peace, and assurance from his word. There's some in the congregation today that need that. Get at his feet. Get at his feet and let him minister his assurance and his comfort and his peace to your heart. If people are going to be changed, it must be from the heart. You cannot reform people into serving God. As a pastor for 40 years, I've understood this. It took me a while to get it. We're going for the heart here, brethren. Amen? We're going for the heart. I hope that you understand that. And then, I want to say a word about this service. As we close our Bibles, I want you to look this way. Preacher, I don't understand. You can stand to your feet. Preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand. I know I'm saved. I am thankful that I'm saved. I realize that only Jesus could save me. But I just couldn't see myself going into the presence of others and shedding tears and washing Jesus' feet and anointing him and kissing him and publicly. I just can't see that kind of devotion in my life. Why is there not that kind of devotion? Well, I want you to take a fresh look at where you stand before God and realize what Jesus has done for you. Give that some thought. Give that some thought. Remember now where you would be headed if Jesus had not interrupted your path. He came to you. He convicted you. He drew you. He saved you. And now your whole life has been changed. Amen. What's it going to take for me to get there? Well, Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. Remember when Jesus went to Peter and he said, Peter, I've got to work for you. He said, but I got to give you a test before I can see if you're ready for this work. What was the question he asked him? Three times. You love me? Because you're not going to serve me if you don't love me. Oh, you'll go through the motions, but listen, when your heart's not engaged, your hands will hang down. Been there. Been there. Well, how do you love him? You have to evaluate what it costs to purchase you. It's just a circle. As we bow our heads this morning, I pray to God that someone here, your pastor, your preacher included, will love God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, with all of their strength. That we would love Jesus the way He is worthy to be loved, unashamedly.